At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Batchelor. Canada, the Republic of India, the largest state in the solar system and a very modest small state that's a very good ally of the United States and a member of the G7, a member of NATO. And yet there is a dispute, a feud, accusations, diplomats being withdrawn, angry words, allegations constantly now. And the mystery here is what's driving it. And there's a name that emerges from a new column from Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute. His column, he writes East is East for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Khalistan. Khalistan is the revelation to me. So I welcome Sadanand. What is or what would be Khalistan? What's the thinking behind this invention? Good evening to you, Sadanand.
A very good evening to you too, John. So Khalistan, in a nutshell, is a separatist movement. It's a movement that wants a theocratic Sikh majority state carved out of the Indian state of Punjab and adjoining areas. So it's a separatist movement that was quite active in India in the 1980s and early 1990s. The insurgency that was related to it cost more than 20,000 lives in that time. It led to some horrific episodes in modern Indian history, including the assassination of Prime Minister Indira Gandhi in 1984 and the blowing up of an Air India flight in 1985 that killed more than 300 people. Currently, it's not much of a movement in Punjab itself, in India. Most people, if you go there and talk to people, they don't want to have anything to do with it. But it is being promoted quite loudly and overtly by a small sliver of the Sikh diaspora, particularly in Canada. And that is at the nub of an increasingly shrill dispute between Canada and India.
And Khalistan's intention is to be separate from India, from Pakistan, from Punjab, its own state, a landlocked state. Is that the dream?
Yeah. Look, think of it as a kind of the Sikh equivalent of Pakistan. So Pakistan was carved out of British India, then the logic being that the Muslims needed their own country, which they got, which is a country called Pakistan, and pretty soon, members of other religions were mostly driven out. So this is the kind of corollary to that, where the Sikhs, or a certain small number of Sikh, extremist Sikhs, they want their own new country. So they want to essentially break up India and carve out this new country, which would be a Sikh theocratic state called Khalistan.
Now, the murder of Hardeep Singh Ninjar, 45 years old, seems to have been the presenting issue for the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. And your reporting, and as I recall, Justin Trudeau came forward and made allegations. Have those allegations been backed up by a court? Has there been a trial, anything like that, to give us more information?
Yeah, so far there hasn't been. So, Trudeau made these allegations first last year, but a little bit more than a year ago. In Parliament, where he said that he had, the term he used was credible allegations that the Indian government was involved in the killing of this man, Hardeep Singh Ninjar, who the Indian government had classified as a terrorist, who had been living in Canada for several years and was an activist with this movement. And he was murdered in June last year in the kind of gangland killing. You know, he was in a truck outside a Gurudwara, which is the term for a Sikh temple, and basically a group of men ambushed him and killed him. It's not clear how many killers there were, probably at least two. Now, according to Trudeau, this whole thing was orchestrated by the Indian government. The Indian government denies it vociferously and says that Trudeau has not presented evidence. Trudeau's argument is that he's made the allegation for now, and that eventually evidence will be presented in a Canadian court of law. We haven't seen that yet, but that doesn't mean we will not see it.
And the withdrawing of diplomats, which has happened suddenly, exchanging, you have to leave, you have to leave, and then India answers that. Is that evidence of a breakdown of dialogue between Delhi and Ottawa? I mean, is there any conversation going on?
I mean, it is indeed evidence of a relationship that's become deeply troubled. The Canadians expelled six Indian diplomats. The Indians claimed that they were pulling them out before the expulsion order came, but it's very clear that they knew that the expulsion order was coming. And then the Indians in turn have expelled six Canadian diplomats. So the relationship is you know, at a low. It's not clear to me if it's going to remain permanently at a low. Part of the issue is that from the Indian perspective, they really, you know, place a lot of the blame on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who they regard as an immature, callow politician who is basically showboating and grandstanding because he seeks the support of a section of extremist Sikh voters in Canada. So it's not clear to me if this is going to continue, but it is a really serious problem because both sides obviously feel very strongly about it. From the Canadian perspective and from Trudeau's perspective, the Indians have crossed a red line because if his allegations are true, we don't know if they're true, but they could be true. If they're true, then obviously, you know, it would suggest that the Indians are interfering with the safety and security of the lives of Canadian citizens.
You mentioned that the U.S. has gotten involved in some aspects of either the dialogue or the investigation. To what end? Do we know what the U.S. intends?
Well, it's very murky, John, but there's a second plot. There are two plots. One was the murder of Nijjar last year, where he was killed. So we still, what's up in the air is who killed him. And you obviously have this, you have the Canadian accusation, and then we'll see what emerges in court. But then there was another case, which is another Sikh activist who was a dual citizen, both Canadian and American, who lives in New York City and, you know, regularly, you know, issues all kinds of barely veiled threats to Indian officials and so on. And here there was an alleged Indian plot which was foiled because the person ordering a hit on this guy contacted a DEA informant and basically tried to put a hit on this guy. So the U.S. is very involved in that case, but the U.S. seems to have much more solid and concrete evidence, and they are going ahead and prosecuting that. There is one Indian national who is already in custody on that, and the U.S. would also like another Indian official, another Indian national who they say is a former Indian official. In the case of Canada, the Indians have acted, you know, have responded in outrage, and there's been this diplomatic tit-for-tat. In the case of the U.S. allegations, the Indians have been quite cooperative. They've formed an investigative team, and they're working with the U.S. And I think the decision, both in Washington and New Delhi, is to just try and isolate this issue, put it in a box, and try to make sure that it doesn't harm the larger strategic relationship between Washington and New Delhi.
Sadanan Dume writing his column East is East for the Wall Street Journal editorial page.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.